Welcome to the Daytime Confidential podcast, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, we have an exclusive interview with One Life to Live's David Chisholm. Tina and I visit with him about his role as Miles Lawrence on One Life to Live, his upcoming movie, The Click, why his charitable work for Vision Walk is so close to his heart, and how fans can write in to support him and his character, and much, much more, so stay tuned. My first question would be, when I was doing some research on you, I've seen that you've made a lot of appearances on a lot of primetime television shows. You've been on shows like Melrose Place and 24. When you've done all that work, what brought you to daytime, and how did you make the transition from primetime to daytime?
Well, I mean, it's an easy transition, considering that it's acting is acting, and it's just another genre and another atmosphere to acclimate to. You know, my experience in prime time helped me prepare myself for daytime and any other job that I'll have in the future. I've learned a lot over the road, and it's basically you know, just getting on set. And a lot of times when you're a guest star on a prime time show, you know, you're just there for the week or a day or two, so you know, you're not embraced by everybody like you would be as a full time, you know, contract player. So, you know, you have to have a thick skin, and you got to just do your work, and you go home. It's all in a day's work, you know, really. It's just what I do.
I know you've been keeping busy recently outside of One Life to Live, which we'll get to in a moment. Jeannie was telling us that you've been on set filming recently, and then we also were looking at your bio on IMDb, and you have the untitled Onion movie, which is coming out. We were watching the trailer for that, and that looks so awesome.
Are you serious? I didn't even know that it was coming out, to be honest with you, completely honest with you. I play a hysterical character, absolutely hysterical. It's a very short-lived, you know, cameo, if you will. And I remember I was on the very first day of the entire shoot for that entire film, and I got there at like 7:30 in the morning, and we probably didn't start shooting until like 11 o'clock. And it is absolutely hysterical. I don't want to give away the whole plot, but I work for Penis Pal. Penis Pal is my business. So enough said.
Well, considering the name of Steven Seagal's character in the movie, which I won't give away, we'll include a link to the trailer when we post this on the blog for people to check out the trailer. But when you look at the his name in the for the character, it doesn't take itself too seriously.
No, that yeah, it definitely is not serious in any regard.
Since we're talking about movies, I'm one of your MySpace friends, and it says you're working on a new movie called The Click.
Yes. Yeah, The Click was a very successful, best-selling series of books, actually 9 books, about 12- and 13-year-old girls. I believe it takes place in Westchester. They're a very well-to-do family. I play one of the fathers, obviously loaded. And kind of neglectful of my child in some degree, and it's really about the girls. But it was a pleasure to work on. I went to Rhode Island for the first time in Newport, and it was just a beautiful, beautiful vacation, if you will. And I enjoyed working with all the girls. They're very talented, and Tyra Banks is producing it. Michael Limbeck is directing it, and he's done a number of Friends episodes and Californication. He did the Santa Claus movies 2 and 3 with Tim Allen. And it was a great experience. I really enjoyed it.
It sounds like a blast.
Yeah, it really was. It was.
Turning to One Life to Live.
Mm-hmm.
You were introduced as Miles a while back. Since then, you've went through a whole lot of things with your character. Most recently, Miles has found himself with the attentions of Roxy. How do you enjoy that dynamic as an actor, and what do you think of it for the two characters?
Well, on a personal level, first of all, Ian is a true professional, very laid back, very compassionate, and I enjoyed her personally a great deal. I didn't know her really well before we started working together, so I enjoyed that time with her. I haven't worked with her a lot lately, But Roxy and Miles had this, you know, affectionate friendship that could become more. But I think they've kind of steered away from that at this point. But, you know, I've gotten so much good feedback from so many fans saying how funny the scenes were and how much they liked us together and, you know, what a break it was from all the drama and everything that goes on in that show to have something to laugh at. So I'm glad that I was a part of that and bringing some of that joy to the fans. I had a ball doing it. I thought we had a great chemistry. I thought we had, you know, a lot of fun doing it, and hopefully that translated in the show and on the screen.
Oh, I think it most definitely did. If you had your druthers, would you like to see more of that dynamic?
Well, it was very interesting to do, and I think, you know, I think daytime sometimes lacks comedy, and so I think it's, you know, I think it's an interesting storyline. It's something that maybe they should go further with, you know. I mean, we could be Mutt and Jeff, you know. could be Laurel and Hardy. I don't know. I think there's possibilities there. I just don't know what they intend to do.
Well, speaking of Laurel and Hardy, what about your character Miles with Addie and your history?
Good segue. You know what? I think there is something to say about that history, and I have honestly not read anything in the scripts that I've seen recently that have anything to do with Addie and Miles' connection. She alluded to the fact that I looked familiar to her, and I thought that was going somewhere, but I'm not sure what the writers are planning with that, honestly. I can't tell you what's going to happen with that. But, you know, she's been on the show several years ago, and she's a professional, and it was a great joy to work with her, too. I have no idea what they're going to do with that. It could
well,
be leading to some of the mysteries that Miles has and needs to unlock, if you will.
I think that one of the things that, for fans, because a lot of the stuff that you had with your scenes with Addie took place during the strike, how did the writer's strike impact you while you guys were in the process of filming and the writing that was going on, and what's it like been post-strike? Because obviously things were going to get changed after the strike ended.
Well, I think the strike lasted a lot longer than anyone imagined, first of all. And I think the people that, you know, had the storylines going strong into the writer's strike really benefited, because I think they elongated some storylines and they concentrated on the ones that were current. And I think I suffered personally, and Miles suffered from that, from the writer's strike. Just the focus wasn't there, and no hard feelings. It was a difficult time for everyone. They did what they had to do, and I don't know how they're going to pick it back up. I know Ron's working hard, and he's trying to you know, inject some of his storylines and some of his ideas, and it'll be a very interesting couple months to see what happens with the show, not just with Miles, but, you know, it will be interesting, let's just say that. I really don't know what will happen. I just know that the writer's strike hurt us all, and it hurt Miles and David especially.
Well, from a fan perspective, one's hard-pressed to find a fan nowadays who is complaining about One Life to Live, because what has taken place just in the last year has been nothing short of amazing, and I'm so glad that you and the rest of the cast are having the opportunity to have, I mean, so much character growth and development for your characters as a whole, and for to see the show doing so well. We just wish that the ratings would follow it, because you guys are doing so well.
Luke, I can't even comment on that, because I, you know, as an actor, sometimes you have to isolate yourself. You know, we're sensitive souls, and you know, there is things being said by fans and other people that watch the show, and rightfully so. They have an opinion, and they want to voice that. And sometimes, you know, it affects us. So, you know, you have to be cautious as an actor to not let that invade your privacy and invade your way of thinking. You know, you have to be open to that criticism or the good comments that come by. But you know, you kind of have to isolate yourself. You know, at least I do. And I try to keep away from all the ratings and, you know, how well we're doing and this and that. You know, I have a job to do, and I need to concentrate on that. So I don't keep up on the ratings. I really can't comment on that, Luke.
All I know is we're really enjoying this show and you on it. I believe Tina has a question about Allison.
Okay.
Yes, I do. You know, now that Crazy Allison is out and about, and she's waking up in the hospital and what have you. Do you think that this secret that she has is going to affect either Miles Lawrence or the Lawrence family in any way?
I'm sorry, I don't have an answer for that. I know Allison's storyline, and I know that she's a fantastic actress. I've watched her work, and I think she plays that character very, very well. We haven't crossed paths. We haven't worked together just yet, and I don't see storylines that are integrating with Allison and Miles. Although, I would love to stir some stuff up at Landview with her. I think she's a ball. She plays the character great, and maybe Miles will go bad again. Who knows?
I'm sorry, Jeannie.
I'm sorry, I was going to just chime in. David being a newer character, Miles being a newer character and David being new on the cast, he may not be completely familiar with the fact that Allison has always been involved with the Lawrences. So as fans, we've always loved crazy Allison going nuts, and I think there is some potential there for some of whatever she's got brewing to carry over. But part of the interesting thing is what the fans want to see for Miles and for David, because, when you have these back burner actors who are, moved around a little bit, sometimes it's up to the fans to focus. So it would help us, especially David, I know we talk about it a lot, to know what the fans want to know about, and to write in. And everyone, anyone who's digging the fandom knows that, the power of the pen is amazing. So if people have ideas and people have, interests, it's always good to send a letter to Brian Franz or Frank Valentini or Ron Colavardi at the studios and let them know what they want to see. I know I sure do, and I know our fan club certainly spends a lot of time pontificating about, Miles' secrets and, dastardly Miles and sexy Miles. And we have all kinds of names for him, like Mowl and Moxie and all those kinds of good things. And, they want to see him more in a towel and less with clothes and all those good things. So, hey, I'm telling you, it's fine.
I have to expand on that thought, Gina. I really do encourage the fans, not only of Miles and of David Chisholm, and I thank you for your support, but for the show, for One Life to Live. But if you do have ideas for Miles, if you do have storyline ideas, or if you want to know something about Miles, or if you're interested in some of the mysteries that surround this character, please write in, because the writing and the mail does not go unnoticed. People actually, really put a lot of time and energy in this genre into listening what the fans want. And so, the power of the pen is really powerful. And in any genre I've worked in every genre there is in acting to this point, I'm telling you, this is the most influence that you will see from a fan base, with no exceptions. So I encourage you all to continue to write in, and if you haven't, start writing in, and let us know what you want to see. Let us know what interests you and what you're curious about, because you never know. Your storyline could be the thing that's being shown on the TV.
Dan should know that David reads all his mail and he answers all his mail personally. I don't even help him with it. He's one of those special guys who you'll actually get an answer from.
That's awesome.
Always very cool.
That's awesome. You mean you don't have any like secret Oompa Loompas somewhere who will do it for you when you're busy?
He does it all himself.
That's impressive. Well, I want to ask a question about Miles Lawrence and Mitch Lawrence. I mean, you mentioned it earlier about possibly being dastardly or evil Miles. If Miles were to go back down that path, hypothetically speaking, what type of storyline or interaction with other characters would you like to see?
That's a good question. I'm brainstorming now, and I'll pause for a moment. I don't know. I mean, I think what's attractive about Miles, at least for me, and especially from an acting point of view, is that he is capable of anything. He is so unpredictable that you don't know what he's doing. It could be an act that he's nice. He could have some devastating plan to take down the Buchanans or, the Lords or, all of Landview. He could burn it to the ground. He's capable of so much, and he's capable of a lot of love. But this is a tortured soul that is almost adolescence, in a sense. And, you know, he hasn't learned really how to manage his life. And so there again, I don't think any storyline is so outlandish for this character. I think the potential is amazing, unlimited. I honestly don't know what will happen with Miles, but anything is possible. And so that's why I'm interested. I'm always reading the mail, interested in ideas.
Are there any actors that you specifically really want to work with?
Well, I had a joy working with Robin Strasser. I think she keeps you on your toes. I just filmed a scene recently with John Brotherton, who is a very popular character, Jared, on the show. It's fairly new, but, you know, that was a lot of fun. I think there's a lot of potential there. Of course, Natalie and he have been friends forever. So, not that there may be a love interest, or maybe there will be. Maybe he's going to betray her. I have no idea what's going to happen, but their potential is unlimited. I enjoyed working with John McBain when he was after me about Marty. Todd Manning has definitely got a hate for me, and it's mutual. There's so many possible storylines for Miles. It's unlimited. Like I said, you could do anything with this guy. I really honestly can say that the people that I'm interested in working with, I've worked with probably 75% of them. I think that Miles needs a love interest. I think he's interested in feeling life to the fullest and having children and being in love and having real friendships. And I also think the possibility of him not getting those and feeling shunned and ostracized from society could lead him in a very negative path. And I don't know what actors I will end up working with from here on out, but it could be anybody. I just look forward to coming on stage and working with somebody. I tell you, the entire cast, and I say this honestly, is extremely professional and very friendly and very supportive. And I've made friends with nearly everyone on the show. I would love to work with any of them. And I know that sounds like a cop-out, but it really isn't.
No, you definitely sound like that. Obviously, you love to go to work, and we love seeing you on screen. And are we going to be seeing you soon? You say you're on set, so we should see you in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I just filmed three episodes the last 2 days, and it could lead to some other work. I don't know that they have a solid storyline for me, so there again, I encourage people to write in, and if you want to see Miles in One Life to Live and you want to see a storyline, please suggest it. Keep the mail coming. Like I said before, they really do read it. I don't know what will happen with him. His future is really uncertain.
You haven't been in the hospital all this time, have you?
No, actually, he's been recovering in the carriage house. Isolated from society.
All right, well, as long as you haven't just been, locked in a hospital room somewhere all this time, that's
right?
A good thing.
Yeah, having a relapse.
Or what's to say Allison wouldn't have him locked up somewhere? Who knows?
Now, wouldn't that be fun?
That would be interesting, actually.
Miles would be the right kind of character for Allison to get her hooks into, because he's got that naivete with that, that sexiness and that allure, and then he's got a little bad boy in him, and you could see Allison going kind of bonkers with something like that. It'd be fun.
Yeah, and you know what? I if she is cunning, she can definitely manipulate Miles. I mean, he is not worldly.
he is a little bit naive sometimes.
This is, yes, extremely.
What we love about him,
I certainly try to play him that way. I mean, I think that's interesting. I think the possibility is unpredictability and his naivety and the fact that he can be manipulated is somewhat alluring, from the audience point of view. Not necessarily beloved and all this stuff, by who he is.
Well, I have to say, I'm interested.
That is interesting.
I'm interested in seeing what's going to happen with Miles now that you're no longer being, a puppet for Spencer, because it seems like that. Ever since you came on, you've been somehow controlled from beyond the grave by Spencer.
Well, for all his dastardly deeds, he certainly was. And, you know, there again, he was easily manipulated. You know, and I think a part of it was that he felt like he owed Spencer, you know, his life and his freedom. And not only that, but he trusted him. He didn't know him as the bad, evil man of Sunview and the doctor that would take advantage of people and whatnot. He saw him as a beloved soul, a good friend, you know, a true compassionate human being. And so he was shocked. Absolutely shocking that he was not seen that same way in Landia.
Well,
and now he's standing on his own 2 feet, so let's see how he does.
Well, speaking of compassion, I know you're involved in a lot of charity work. I know from what I've done in talking with Jeannie that you're involved in Vision Walk. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Tell us about that, and for those who don't know about it, and your involvement in it.
I would love to, Luke. I appreciate that. When I was about 13 years old, my father, who had been climbing up the executive ranks at General Motors, in fact, he was the youngest executive in General Motors history when he was promoted to the executive ranks, he was forced to retire, not necessarily by General Motors, but by his health. He had actually it's macular degeneration of the retina, but a lot of people refer to it as retinitis pigmentosa, which is a blinding disease of the retina. And he unfortunately retired at 41 years old when he was still climbing the corporate ladder. And, you know, I saw my father go through a lot of changes, and so it affected me deeply. And then as I grew older, my sister came down with the disease. It's hereditary. And she now has just lost her driver's license and walks to work where she's a teacher in California. And so this disease has affected me greatly. And the fact that I could be a carrier and my kids could become blind and my sister's kids, my nieces, could be blind at some point. There's great motivation and always has been in helping Foundation Fighting Blindness. However, before this job, I didn't even know that FFB even existed. It's kind of our family's point of view to some extent that this was incurable, and that's what we've been told, and we're going to have to go with our lives, and this is something that's affected our family. You know, every family goes through heart disease or cancer or some kind of affliction, and this was ours, and we accepted that, and we moved on, and weren't feeling helpless, but didn't feel like there was any cure in sight. And when I was contacted by some of the FFB executives, if you will, and they talked to me, because I had mentioned that this story, they saw that in the paper somehow and got a hold of me. And I was like so excited that they reached out to me and so enthusiastic to start to raise money and be more involved. And I have done that. I'm going to be speaking at the conference in Washington, D.C. in August and participating in Vision Walks in Long Island and Central Park in New York and possibly in D.C. and maybe in California. And I want to raise as much money and bring as much awareness to this disease as possible, and because it's so close to my heart. But I do other things as well. Anytime a castmate asks me for any kind of help with their charity, I'm gung-ho and ready to step in.
Well, I was going to ask about that as well, because I know that Jeannie just did the Gabriel Project, and I know you're involved in that. And then I believe Broadway Cares was about a week ago or a week and a half ago now,
They
raised over $300,000 there. Can you tell us about the Broadway Cares and then what you and Jeannie and others like Kamar are doing for the Gabriel Project?
Absolutely. The Broadway Cares was a great event. We had over 1,500 people packed in the Town Hall Theater in New York City. We performed, groups of talent from some of the Broadway shows and from All My Children and One Life to Live and General Hospital got together and raised money as they do for the, I believe it was the fifth year that they've done this. I was asked to do the full Monty, so I made the complete commitment. I actually stripped down in front of all these people, and now it's on YouTube, so go figure. I don't think
you can watch David Bear at all.
Right? But it was a thrill. I've never done anything like that, stripping. And it was really an adrenaline rush and very exciting and something that that I just stepped into and went full force. Not something I was I wasn't experienced with it, let's just say that. But it was a joy to do, and they raised a lot of money. I was happy to be a part of it.
That's awesome. Now, for the Gabriel Project, okay. I know that Jeannie has been working with Kumar for a while on it. How recently have you joined that?
Well, one of the reasons that I signed on with Jeannie is because of the Gabriel Project, and I saw the work that she was doing and her enthusiasm and energy towards this charity and working with Kumar. She had such a good rapport with them, and they've worked so hard, along with Mark and others, to bring happiness and joy and relief to so many families who, you know, really have suffered. These kids come from third world countries. They don't have the money to seek the surgeries that give them a much better way of life. And, you know, I was able, fortunately, to meet some of the recipients of this charity. And, you know, it's just so enlightening, so touching. And I will continue to do whatever I can for the Gabriel Project. I really think the world of Kumar and Jeannie and everyone involved in that, it really was touching, and it was just a joy to be there. And, you know, I got to credit the fans. Yeah, the celebrities are there, and yeah, they're interested in the show, but they're also genuinely interested in helping these unfortunate children, you know, across the world, not just in the United States, but across the world. They're doing such good work. It was very, very touching. And Jeannie will tell you, I was sobbing like a baby. I must have cried more than anyone there.
He's a big softie. We had two of the recipients at TGP, one who had burns over 90% of her body, and she's here to receive plastic surgeries to correct that. And then Anya, who had scoliosis of the spine and couldn't walk, and she actually took her steps up on stage and recited a poem for us, and the whole room was just done. We were finished. And, of course, I was trying to hold it together, and then David sitting next to me sobbing like a 2-year-old, and I thought, geez, we're all going to be a mess. It was great, though, to see where your money goes. The fans really love the event. The actors have a blast. You know, we all party and we all dance, but we do it in the name of celebration for these lives that are, you know, done better. I mean, these guys are really, sometimes when you see them, you know, they have holes in their heart and they're, you know, left for, you know, the mortality and morbidity rate in Africa is really very, very low for them. I mean, very high for them. So, you know, to know that we can pick a kid up and bring them here, get them a surgery they need for not a lot of money, really, and then have host families help them out and take them back and put them, most importantly, back into their own environment. You know, we're not transplanting them here in this country. We're putting them back where they came from so that they can live successful lives and be, you know, productive human beings. It's an amazing, you know, amazing job, and we all love it. And David joined us last year. He was brand new. I'll never forget. We walked into the studio to go pick up some auction items, and, of course, we both all yell out, "There's Miles!" And he just looked up with that big, great smile of his, and he was hooked from that point on. And so he came again this year and sat at a table with full of fans and his fan club members and celebrated with us and partied and danced. And we were hoping for another full Monty, but no luck.
Yeah, you know, I did I didn't hear that request, but I danced my little booty off. I don't get out much. I reveled in that opportunity. It was really a lot of fun.
Well, at least
the towel was big enough, right?
I'm sorry.
Say again?
I said at least the towel was big enough, right?
Yeah.
I've watched the YouTube, so.
I told you, David. Mowel is big. Mowel is really big.
I guess in closing, is there anything in particular that you would say to the fans in terms of with your role as Miles, other than, say, writing in, or is that the most important thing for them?
Listen, if I could say anything to the fans, you know, I've never experienced in any other genre the accessibility that the fans have to soap actors and vice versa, that we have access to the fans. And, you know, they've done such great work in the charity venues and really donated a lot of money and a lot of time and made a lot of effort to get to these places. And not only that, but they've spent the time writing to me. And I receive letters from so many people across the country that enjoy the work, that it takes them out of their day for an hour or whatever. And they're just so gracious and thankful. I've been overwhelmed by it, to be completely honest with you. And I just encourage the fans to continue to support the show, support Miles, in writing. And any ideas that you have, like I said before, they will be read and they will be taken into consideration. And I just can, the only thing I can say is that I really appreciate all their consideration and their time and the love that they show me. And I hopefully that the people that come to these charity events and meet me, they hope, I hope that they feel that gratitude. And to everyone that hasn't been to those or haven't been able to make those, I have gratitude to them too. And I really appreciate their support. Very touching and moving to me.
Well, final question then, whether it be movies, television, or daytime, what would you consider to be your most fulfilling role and why?
Well, you know, I did a film. I've done a couple films that I'm really proud of. One in particular is called Dark Mirror. It's going to be hitting the festival soon, hopefully. And I'm extremely proud of it. I play the lead opposite of Lisa Vidal. It's a mystery thriller. And, you know, it was an incredible experience and a film that I'm extremely proud of. And then, you know, this has been an uphill battle. This has been a climb for me for 13 years. And I've done some good work. And I've been on a lot of reputable, respected shows. But One Life to Live has given me a chance to come to work every day with my hard hat, if you will. And that's the kind of guy I am. I want to work every day. And it's given me the chance to create a character from the beginning and see him develop and come in, you know, 125 episodes last year and, you know, really go through some changes. And so I think, you know, it's been the most gratifying role I've ever played.
I know that we as fans appreciate it. We will be linking to your website, but for people who want to check it out, you can go to davidchisholm.com. Also, you're on MySpace, which is myspace.com/davidchisholm. We'll link to it when we post everything on the blog. We'd like to thank you and Jeannie both so much for your time. We greatly appreciate it. Jeannie, once again, I believe it's the third time you've been on the podcast. As always, it's a pleasure.
A good time. I always enjoy the Daytime Confidential crew. You guys are great, and I think you're doing a great job, so keep it up.
Well, we appreciate that. David, thank you so much for your time, and this episode will, this episode will probably air at the beginning of next week, so we thank you so much.
I'll be looking for it, and I appreciate your time.